Welcome to the Menstruality Podcast, where we share inspiring conversations about the power of menstrual cycle awareness and conscious menopause. This podcast is brought to you by Red School, where we're training the menstruality leaders of the future. I'm your host, Sophie Jane Hardy, and I'll be joined often by Red School's founders, Alexandra and Shani, as well as an inspiring group of pioneers, activists, changemakers, and creatives to explore how you can unashamedly claim the power of the menstrual cycle to activate your unique form of leadership for yourself, your community, and the world. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome back to the podcast. We're talking about power today, which is something we talk about a lot at Red School. The word is in both of Alexandra and Shani's book titles, Wild Power and Wise Power. And it's also in the title of our new upcoming course, Cycle Power, which is starting in June, which we'll tell you more about later. But what exactly do we mean by power? Today, we're unpacking this, exploring how Alexandra and Shani define and understand power, why so many of us feel scared or confused or suspicious about power. Perhaps it's because we live in a world where it's so often misused, and how the menstrual cycle and menopause wake us up to our power. So if you're longing to feel more agency, to feel more powerful in your life, if you notice yourself suppressing your power, if you're curious about how menstrual cycle awareness can help you to claim more of your power and live it in the world, then this one is for you. And it's a wild one. Sometimes our podcast conversations have a very clear structure, very clear plan. But with this one, we just let ourselves loose and we went on a magical mystery ride. As you'll hear, Alexandra and I were very much in the void, me before my period and her before the new moon. So pour yourself a cup of something lovely and just enjoy us for this wild exploration of demystifying something that's so vital for all of us and for our world, power. Good morning, you two. Let's do our cycle check-in. But before we start, let's invite everyone listening to take a moment, maybe put a hand on your heart or on your belly if you have one free. Just check in with yourself and see how you are on this cycle day, if you have a menstrual cycle, if you can remember what day you're on, or whatever cycles you're tracking in your life. And maybe as you're listening, you can see what sparks for you about where you're at and how your cyclical intelligence is informing your experience today. Yeah, who feels like kicking us off? Alexandra, I imagine, more than Shani.
Actually, I'm going to surprise you.
Be my guest, Shani.
Nothing like the challenge of breaking the habits of being oneself. Yes, so I am day 16, and I love that you got us to pause there, because just in that moment, something about how I am today crystallized for me, and I could just feel this effervescence in my body. I feel very buoyant, and like there is a big laugh waiting to happen. I can almost imagine if I was put in a context, a very inappropriate context where I was not allowed to laugh, I would laugh so much and so hard and so long, I might collapse on the floor and possibly even wet my pants. That kind of silly laugh is just sort of waiting to happen. So yeah, I guess there's a element of silliness. Yeah, which... it's quite fun.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad for that, because our topic is pretty big today and fairly heavy. So I'm glad for your day 16 silliness. Alexandra, you and I are in a similar place.
Yes. Why don't you go first? No, you go first.
Okay. So I'm on day 30 of a cycle that I don't know how long it's going to be. Normally I feel when I ovulate and then I know I bleed 14 days later. I don't know when I ovulated this month. I didn't feel it. But I feel fantastic. I feel like I don't belong to the world right now. So I'm free and I can say what I want and do what I want. I feel otherworldly. It's really gorgeous. Mm. Yeah, and I also feel quite sensual. I had quite a hot dream last night. And I'm sorry, Dad, if you're listening, because my dad listens to these sometimes. I
I
don't know if my dad needs to know about the dream I was having about Tom Hereward from Call the Midwife. But yeah, there's a sensual, sexual, connected to myself. It's a good place. Yeah.
Oh, so great hearing you. And I just love this feeling of feeling so well and special. And I am actually feeling very, very well in my body. It's really nice. And I am wide open. It's the void of the moon. So it's kind of sort of new moon today-ish, today, tomorrow. I'm not sure. Yeah. Depends where you are in the world. And, oh gosh, and it's also hard to find words. So again, it's going to be interesting. Shani's going to be silly, and I'm going to be wordless, struggling for words. This is going to bode well for our podcast. I'm permeable. I'm just very, very permeable. So the real world stuff shocks me today and shakes me up and triggers my nervous system, and that doesn't feel good. So as long as I'm in a little love nest, I'm doing all right. Actually, there's a lot of inner discipline required because, of course, my working life continues.
And there's something from the world beeping in now to just to
I
trigger your
know.
nervous system. What was that? Was that like a rubbish lorry reversing into your drive or something?
It's so random. It's a rubbish lorry reversing into our sort of little cul-de-sac, but then it doesn't pick up the rubbish and comes back tomorrow. Only we're still told to put out the rubbish today.
I think there's a profound riddle here that's
There
just
is a riddle.
waiting to be
It's a
solved.
huge riddle I'm having to solve with my counsel. There have been communications. Yeah, so it's going to drive back past again because it can't get out the other
Oh,
end.
good. We'll look forward to
Yes.
that. So, the topic of the day is power. And I find it interesting that we haven't had a conversation directly about this yet, although we've spoken about it a lot on the podcast, especially because the word power features in the title of both of your books. So, Wild Power, Wise Power, and in the title of our new course, Cycle Power. So, now is the moment to speak about power. And we wanted to start by actually checking in with you, wonderful being listening to this. How you feel about power, what happens in you, in your body when you hear the word power, because it's a big word and it conjures up so many different things. There are massive misuses of power in our world. It's no wonder that we can feel concerned, confused, suspicious, all kinds of things. So we actually have some questions for you to reflect on. Are you scared of power in yourself or others? How do you suppress your own power? Are you afraid that claiming your power means you'll oppress or diminish someone else? Do you see power as a destructive force that's outside of your control? So maybe if you have the time and space, you might just want to pause the podcast for a moment to reflect on that.
And if you don't have time to pause and sort of really inquire into that, actually just notice the feeling that arises in your body when you think about power. And just get a felt sense, a sort of somatic response or answer, which will reveal something about what your relationship to power is. And that will tell you what your relationship to power is.
Yeah, thank you, Shani. So there's this quote in your Wild Power book about why many of us feel afraid of power. So I think I'll read that to walk us into this. So it says, too many of us are afraid of our power and have pretty messed up notions about it. Given the many displays of distorted power in the world today, it's easy to see how we might assume that power is the problem. The distortion of power in our culture arises in part because we forget that weakness and vulnerability are necessary. These qualities only appear weak because of our one-sided view of power. We currently see power as perfection, tough and hard, insensitive, unemotional, untouchable, and bulletproof. The tender, apparently fragile, emotionally messy, inept, imperfect, or immature parts of ourselves are all perceived as weak and powerless. However, these vulnerabilities are at the heart of our humanity. They're the doorway to a wholesome, integrated, wise expression of power that brings compassion and respect to other people, along with a cooperative and respectful relationship with the natural world that supports us. It's big. There's so much in that. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Coming from the place I'm in today, when you asked those questions, I felt like I was a beginner again with that word power. And I feel every day that there's a kind of inner work dance I have to do to, if I'm engaging with the world as I do, if I don't live in my own private bubble, it, you know, just my small everyday life, it's, you know, I feel okay. But the moment I'm sort of tested by things in the world, I have to rediscover, in a way, I have to re-find myself and claim my power in all these different situations. So it's never like you nail it. And also, because as I get older, and I become more permeable as I get older, I feel things more. I feel the complexity of things much more. And I don't have the same kind of resilience and insensitivity, for want of a better word, that I had in my youth. There's something also very sturdy and very fierce in me.
Mm.
It's an interesting combination. Mm-hmm. Of feeling, because when I think of that word power, I think of it in a very simple terms as my capacity to have agency in the world, to be able to go out and to shape my life, to do what I, you know, to realize what I want to realize in the world. It's like my capacity to wield a metaphorical tool and literal tool. I'm not very good on the literal tools, by the way. I haven't mastered those powers. In fact, I'm rubbish. But, but I have realized, you know, many things in the world. And I feel a muscularity in me. I feel a capacity in me. I feel an intelligence in me. And a pleasure in who I am, which are all the ingredients that I need to be able to go out and achieve the things I want to achieve. So there's that level of agency that is there. And then there's something else where when I, you know, as a this ongoing kind of negotiation with life, this ongoing process of evolving, you know, meeting, because you know, when you're in the world, you're meeting challenges all the time, and the challenges are very real. And sometimes I feel like I just would like to go and hide and stop. And often I go, you know, I have these sort of fantasies of just walking away and go, I'm not interested in it. I do not want to live like this. It's, yeah.
Well, what you're saying, Alexandra, is such a really fundamental point, which is, in a way, we're saying that power is a lot like health. It's not a one-time thing. You can't create good health and then you're done. It's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment way of relating to, caring for ourselves, getting to know ourselves, responding to our environment, responding to what challenges, pressures arise, etc. So power is very, very much the same. In other words, our relationship to power and our experience of power is a process. And the bit you're pointing to, Alexandra, from the kind of vantage place of elderhood is that through a lifetime of being, through a lifetime of cycle awareness, but of also relating to yourself day by day, getting to know yourself, you've actually created a foundation of power in your system. In other words, a bit like we can create a stronger immune system, we can create a stronger capacity or greater capacity to hold our own power. Mm. Because it has to do, power is in a way available, and it has to do with our capacity to hold it, allow it, and our response and the responsibility that we take with it. So this thing of it being a process, I think, is really significant and important and ever changing, as you say, through the life stages we're in, through the circumstances of our lives. It's ongoing.
That's a really helpful parallel for me to see power and health as similar. It's a process. And Alexandra, I feel like what you shared there about when you hear those power questions, you feel yourself as a beginner again. It felt like a beautiful example of this vulnerability that is at the heart of our humanity and at the heart of this work with the menstrual cycle and power. You know, I felt touched by that, moved by that. Oh, you know, Alexandra is feeling like a beginner right now, because I have seen you in your power, you know, and I'm actually thinking of when we all gathered together for your 70th birthday. And it was one of the most beautiful demonstrations of a person holding healthy power that I've ever seen. You know, you had magnetized us all to you because we love you so, because of who you are and everything that you've given to us. And then you invited us all to hold, I hope it's okay for me to share this with everybody in our community, but you asked us all to hold qualities for you for this next phase of your life. And the presence that you held, it was, I could feel your power vividly. You know, it was so alive, it was electrifying. And so to know you as that, and then to hear you now as, oh, I feel like a beginner again, to feel this cyclical spiraling process of power. It feels like a great example of that vulnerability that you were pointing to in that original quote, that power isn't this perfect, tough, hard, bulletproof thing that it can feel like when we're like 23 and feeling invincible. But there's a relational element, a vulnerable element.
It's interesting, because this morning I was thinking, oh, Jesus, I wish I had a nervous system of steel sometimes.
Same.
And because I've been fascinated by this word power all my life, right from the beginning, you know, right back into my 30s when I started exploring this work, cycle work. Well, at least when my pain invited me into a deeper level of engagement with it, because in my 20s I was into fertility awareness. I was always interested in the word power. Power was very central to me. And when I was researching, you know, the etymology of words around menstruation and everything, power was always in there. And so I was, my whole long journey was about unpacking what is powerful about the power of the cycle. So it's so interesting that our books have all got the word power in it in some shape or form. It's so central to me. And as someone who doesn't have that power that is normally demonstrated in the world, I never felt like that, you know, I wanted to be powerful. I wanted to feel I had authority, that I was at the main table, if you like. I've got this thing in me, you know, of wanting to have effect in the world in the way some people do. I've always felt it, but I didn't have those kind of skills. And the menstrual cycle journey over the years has awoken me to a different kind of the kind of power that I have, that. And gosh, there's so much packed into just that statement, what's involved in that. But right now, I am so fascinated by the power of undefendedness, which I'm lousy at. I can be so reactive. But this is my spiritual practice. It's been my spiritual practice for a long time, this capacity to encounter life and to dare to be undefended. And that requires, this is the upside of vulnerability, because there's a vulnerability where we are, you know, we can't function and we don't have any sense of power and we can't achieve things. And then there's that vulnerability that's needed for us to be able to feel. If we're not vulnerable, we are machines. We can't feel. And we can't know ourselves even if we're not vulnerable. So we have to cultivate a vulnerability. And I, you know, the menstrual cycle over and over again has brought me into this place of vulnerability, of openness, that has revealed so much power through trusting and letting myself feel and receive. And, you know, where the cycle breaks you down and the second half and utterly exposes you at menstruation. Oh God, that nothing about that looks positive or powerful. And yet it opens us to the most cosmic forces of power. And what that whole cycle process educated me in around daring to be myself, daring to be vulnerable and touched by life rather than steel myself and armor myself to go out there, but to go out there as a human being, basically.
Yeah, because we see out there in the world what this steeled up, bulletproof, armored illusion of power. We see what that does in our world. There's another quote in Wild Power, which feels important to bring in here. You say, power is always a step ahead of us. We're always negotiating and learning about it, tripped up by it and growing into it. We have to get smart. We have to come into a respectful relationship with power and practice a mindful discipline around it. And awareness of your menstrual cycle is this mindful discipline.
Yes, I love that bit of come into a respectful relationship with it and bring more mindfulness to it. Something that Alexandra and I have learned from Julie Diamond, who we've been supervised by and who wrote a great book called Power, A User's Guide. Everyone needs that book. But one of the things that she often reminded us of or reminds us of is the fact that we all underestimate just how much personal power we have. In other words, we are all unconscious of how much impact, how much effect we have. We always underestimate it. And that's very closely tied, I think, to the fact of us coming from a not good enough place and a place of comparing ourselves to others and looking upwards at those who have more power and therefore undermining the power we have. And in that, the real shadow is that we aren't taking responsibility for the power that we do have. So menstrual cycle awareness is waking us up, is helping us to be aware of actually what power is alive in us today. What, not the kind of ghost idea of how we should be, but actually of how we are. And, you know, in Alexandra's case, she's in this void place, feeling very vulnerable, highly sensitized, and she could easily be unconscious of the power that that holds and the effect that has. And she could be acting out from that place and being irresponsible with that power, you know, acting out of fear and defensiveness, etc. But because she's paying attention, she is aware of the vulnerability and able to make choices around remaining undefended and being present with what is actually alive in her. So I think this is a really important link between the practice of cycle awareness and our relationship with power. And it's how we stay in step with our own power and really take responsibility for the power we do have on any given day. Yeah.
Yes.
It's very powerful what Shani has said.
Yeah. Something you shared, Alexandra, when we were riffing about this conversation yesterday, was about how the power of the menstrual cycle is accessed through our body. So like you're saying, Shani, through this awareness of what's actually happening in our embodied experience, not through concepts and thoughts, not through our heads. Yeah, and back to this word discipline. I didn't know this word discipline was going to come up so much today, but it feels like we're saying it a lot. This disciplined work of daring to lean into our own cycle experience, daring to trust that whatever we're experiencing is okay, is good, is right. I mean, that is one of the biggest gateways to power I've ever experienced and continue to experience. And it's happening for me right now in this kind of mystical, mythical place I'm in on day 30, you know, trusting that, okay, I can't lead this conversation as I might do on day 16 and have a very ordered plan and structured and make it make sense and summarize everything neatly and succinctly. No, I can't do that today. That's not the power I have at my fingertips. But I can hold, you know, a big understanding of power from my heart right now and be inside it and feel it and follow and listen and be receptive. So that's the power I'm leaning into.
Yeah. You are courting the unknown, Sophie, and that is such an enormous power. Yeah. And it brings a clarity to it that is very different from mental clarity. It's sort of like a knowingness clarity. And that's really quite something. Yeah. Really awesome.
Yes, I want to just take up that point, Sophie, about the power of the cycle. You know, this is our theme, and what's powerful about the power of the cycle? What do we actually mean when we talk about the power of the cycle? What does that actually mean? It's what we experience when we allow ourselves to be held by cyclical consciousness. It's what opens up or is revealed when we dare to actually trust the phenomena of the experience, of our experience of the menstrual cycle, and to trust the feeling states that we move through over the course of the menstrual month, and rather than go into a performative mode of how one is supposed to be in the world all the time. So this working with your cycle is daring to step into the rhythm of your own being rather than what you're supposed to be. And to see those states as okay, as not wrong, as they are your experience of yourself. There's nothing right or wrong. It just is. And what opens up in that act of leaning back into the cycle and allowing yourself to be paced by the rhythm of the cycle, because, you know, you've been making decisions in these last few days, Sophie, about what you can and can't do in because of where you are in your cycle. And you've been sort of clocking that or plotting that for a few days.
Yeah, and back to our irregular cycles episode. I expected to have started bleeding by now and be moving on, but no, I haven't. So here I am. Yes.
So there's such a discipline going on of, you know, just really valuing the place you're in. And by the way, you wrote some corker emails for us. From that sort of poetic email, I thought, what's Sophie on? She's really on something when we were checking them. You were really channeling something, because that's what you're much more open at that time. If you had been trying to sort of perform as you're supposed to, you know, at work and just turn up regardless, how that would have jarred your whole system and, in a sense, traumatized something in you, and you would have felt less effective and quite not great afterwards. So distrusting of that where you are in the cycle is okay, each place in the cycle is okay, and just really allowing yourself to be moved and touched by that. So I am leading to something here. That act of leaning into and letting yourself and feeling yourself and pacing yourself opens the doors to these glorious powers that the cycle holds in each inner season of the cycle. Each phase of the cycle sort of awakens different capacities, abilities in us, or enhances, amplifies, shall we say. Yes, it amplifies different types of powers. So we get to, you know, for example, if you can slow down coming into menstruation and really pace your energy state and the feelings that are emerging, you'll find that you're and are able to follow that impulse just to drop, and are able to do it, of course, that an extraordinary thing can happen. You start to feel these beautiful, like love suddenly is there, a sense of ecstasy. I mean, you can get pretty high at menstruation, you know, if you stop. I mean, there's lots of things we could say. And of course, we name all those powers in the book. And equally, I love, for instance, what happens if you can really pace yourself coming into your inner spring. That's the pre-ovulatory time. And every month, you get to wear, it's like these fresh glasses you put on and go, oh, yeah, yeah, just yes, my life's okay. Because you have that cynical moment, you know, just before the cycle ends where it's all shit and what. And then you're, oh, wow, yeah. And there's this renewal of hope and possibility and so on. I mean, those are just two simple examples. There's loads of different powers, you know, literal talents and gifts we have in each part of the cycle. But you can't approach that with your head. You can't, for instance, you can read. We list it all in Wild Power. You can read all about it and you go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But to actually experience them, you have to dare to feel your own being and follow your own being and have a patience with it.
I'm going to pause for a moment to share an invitation with you. We are calling for thousands of us together for a collective kind of homecoming to the power that lives within our cyclical intelligence. It's a free event called Awaken Your Cycle Power. It's online with Alexandra and Shani and this amazing global Red School community of cycle seekers. It's on Wednesday, June the 5th at 1:30 p.m. New York time, 6:30 p.m. London time. We'll provide a recording if that isn't a good time for you or if you're not available to attend live. And you can join us at redschool.net/cyclepower. It's for you if you're longing to know the power of the menstrual cycle in new ways, whether you have a regular cycle, challenging irregular cycles, or even no longer have a menstrual cycle. We'll be together for an hour and a half to explore the power that lives in your cycle, how you can awaken it through befriending your inner seasons, and how you can embody it to transform everything in your world. That's been my personal experience for sure. This event will also serve as an introduction to our new Cycle Power course, which we can't wait to share with you. So you can find out all about the event and the course at redschool.net/cyclepower.
You know, often people will ask the question, and we have been approaching this question throughout the conversation, but what is powerful about the menstrual cycle? And something you've said there, Alexandra, really captures it. It's that the cycle is moving us through different states of being. It's inviting us into these powers, these qualities. So we're talking here about personal power. We're talking here about power within. And if we want to drink of this medicine, if we want to be filled up by these powers, our task is to honor where the cycle is leading us. And that's how we come to embody these powers in each inner season, because you can't make them happen. And in fact, if you think you should be experiencing them, you're really stepped out of the process. So it has to do with this authentic relationship with yourself and your cycle, moment by moment. And it has nothing to do with what anyone said you should experience or how it should be, which is why we have our big red rule. This is personal power. This is between you and your cycle. This is about you and your nature. This is about you and your calling. So it's utterly about something authentic. And the beautiful thing is, it's like a springboard, because when we do this and when we actually cooperate with our cycle and cooperate with our changing energies and adapt how we live and our behaviors and what we choose to do based on where we are in the cycle, we access this power, which is a resource, and that then is like a springboard. It mobilizes us into inspired action. Yeah, it changes what we do and how we do it in a way that's so much more aligned to, you know, what we're really about, our purpose. And ultimately, I would say that's what power is for. It's ultimately for realizing our purpose. Yeah, fulfilling who we are and realizing our purpose.
That's big, what you just said, Shani. Can I just give an example of this? Alessandra, it feels like there's something you want to say, but I just want to land what you just said inside this example that you just brought in, Alessandra, of me in my day 29 yesterday, where if I wasn't cycle aware, I would have woken up, put my kind of armor on to go out into the world and do my job, which I used to do. But instead I knew, okay, day 29, I'm expecting my bleed today. I don't know when it's going to come. I've got quite a lot that I need to write, but I know that I need to be in the woods. Just that intuitive, instinctive knowing, I'm going to take the dog out. That's a silly thing to do when you're supposed to be starting work to do writing, you know, in the normal world. But I went out, and in that relationship between me, my body moving, the river, the trees, the sunlight, I started to land these ideas could bubble up. There was space for these creative ideas to rise. And I followed them. I trusted them. I lent into it. And I wrote these pieces that hopefully people will find beautiful and inspiring. But if I hadn't trusted that and leaned into that, and if I'd gone with what I thought I should do, then none of that would have been able to happen. And everyone listening will have, you know, there are dozens of examples of that from the past month, probably, of things they should have done, but they took a slightly different path and something generative came from it.
Actually, the bit that I just wanted to add was the word empowered. Your example here is perfection, because you stayed in the river of yourself and you unleashed something, and it was very creative. And you probably ended the day feeling pretty tired because you were full on with things. But I'm hoping you ended the day feeling a satisfaction or a goodness. Yes. I mean, because today you described feeling really good, well. And I imagine if you had put on that armor and just pushed through, that might have, the kind of fallout from that today.
Yeah, well, I felt completely inside my calling. It makes me, like, it hurts in my heart to feel how often we are unplugged from that feeling of being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, our power flowing through us because we're not supported to lean back into ourselves, because so many of us don't have this discipline of menstrual cycle awareness that invites us to come back and trust our own direct experience. And it would be remiss of me to leave out the fact that there are so many power structures in our world which quite very actively and often deliberately hold power back from certain people in our world. You know, those are real, and they must be taken down and dismantled, and there are so many powerful movements that are doing that. But this, I feel like there's such a potent opportunity for everyone here with this power with that you're speaking to, Shani. You know, we have an opportunity to lean into our own authentic innate power through this practice of menstrual cycle awareness as a kind of great FU to the power structures that might be holding power back from us, you know.
Yeah.
That is within our agency to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And Dr. Cree Dye, who supports us on the Menstruality Leadership Program, one of the things she says is inner change is social change. Mm-hmm. And we see how this kind of power within helps us all to be in a right relationship with power so that we can experience power with. In other words, we can really engage with the challenges of the power structures and what's going on in our world in a way that can evolve it, in a way that can really allow something new to happen in our world, versus coming at it from a power over place, which it just lands up causing more suppression, more destruction. Even as it might initially look effective, it doesn't ultimately create change. So, you know, for each one of us, this is where our activism begins, is us coming to relationship with our power, the power within us, and taking responsibility for that. And from that place, we can really start to affect change.
Okay, another example is coming up for me right now. It feels important to land this in concrete examples. I'm thinking of Kate Shepherd-Cohen. So she took on menstrual pain and the way it's dismissed in our world. I would say, like, that's what she took on, her activism. And she, through relating to her cycle and her cycle experience, she was able to contact her power and set up this whole program, which is now rolling out through the UK, through the NHS, menstrual cycle support, where people now have access to menstrual cycle awareness and support to alleviate their or meet their menstrual pain in new ways. And she that came from her leaning into her cycle, contacting her power, finding her calling and saying yes to it. And we have an episode with Kate Shepherd-Cohen that I can link to in the show notes so you can hear more of her story. But that's, you know, just one example of what this can look like in the world.
It's so great. That story is so powerful, actually. It's amazing. And I'm just thinking of people, because I'm going back to your story, Sophie, of, you know, making the decision to go and walk in the woods, you know, before you come to work and so on. And I'm thinking of someone who works, you know, has to turn up in an office and, you know, does not work in a cycle-friendly workplace, and in fact complete opposite, and they just have to, you know, go to work. And and I want to say, if you're someone who's in that position, who has to kind of, you know, knuckle under in inverted commas, the extraordinary, don't abandon your cycle awareness practice, just even the awareness that, oh God, I have to go to work and do some blah, blah today, and I'm feeling just so permeable and vulnerable. So there's that, just having that pause of awareness with yourself. I want to really emphasize the potency, the power, can I say, simply in that thought, because because you're dignifying yourself, this awareness is everything. You're just dignifying yourself in the moment. And my hunch is that when you go to work, just because of that moment of dignifying yourself, that you may make very subtle shifts and accommodations in your day that you might not have done. And yes, you still have to do what you do, but there may be subtle shifts and change. And in my book, there is no small shift, even though that we talk about the 1% rule, the 1%, you know, the 1% change, you're doing the 1% change. I tell you, 1% packs a punch. within our psyches, something shifts. And it is a discipline, it's an ongoing practice, not the least of which is that it's actually feeding your self-esteem. And this is key for power. This is self-empowerment.
Yeah.
At work.
Yeah. And so I want to come back to what I said earlier, because this is such a good example of it. You know, when I said we always underestimate how much personal power we have,
yeah,
this is a really good example. It's so easy to look to the kind of structure of our day or the sort of outer responsibilities and forget the power we do have within the situation. So wherever there are limits in our lives, I really invite all of us to turn towards ourselves and feel the place we're in, as Alexandra said, that mindfulness is number one. And then from knowing how you are and what you're needing, to really ask yourself, what power do I have in this situation? What choices can I make? How can I adapt? Or how can I tend myself differently? And that's taking responsibility for your power. It might not look like much in the moment, but when you do that, when you move towards yourself in that way, Alexandra said, you said it was self-esteem building. That is absolutely right. You are recovering the latent power that is so easily dismissed. We all do it day in, day out. We dismiss the choice we have. We dismiss the power we have. So I think that is something, a muscle we can all, you know, really exercise, you know, regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of the limitations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like a gratitude practice.
Exactly.
Where everything might be really shit in your life at the moment, but then you go, oh, hang on, life's just pouring air into my lungs.
Yeah.
And oh, the birds are singing and it's brightening my spirits. That, yes. Yeah. There is agency. And it could be that you can make the choice to text your friend and say, help me, send me a message of encouragement right now. And that one message could change the shape of your day because it's given you that little boost. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. It's the micro moments, isn't it?
Yeah. 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 I'm sort of following this theme of, you know, responsibility and, you know, the powers. Well, we brought up this idea that there are powers held within the cycle, that when you practice psychoenergy, you start to release all these different capacities. And we've also spoken about that we all have some power, and to recognize the power we have and taking some responsibility for that. And I want to just really talk about how another aspect of the power in the cycle is that through the practice of menstrual cycle awareness, you're growing into, I call them meta powers, really. I used this word the other day with you. It was the best way I could describe it. Is, so you have these powers, but then you're developing kind of meta powers through the process of practicing cycle awareness. You're growing into yourself more and more. You're discovering yourself more and more. And you're discovering your own nature, and you're discovering what you're actually built for and what you're not built for. So it's another way of talking about how you're discovering what you are here to serve in the world, what your calling is. It's like this power of that comes from growing into yourself through menstrual cycle awareness. And this empowerment, you know, menstrual cycle awareness is like an empowerment process.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we say how at menarche you step into your power, and then through your menstruating years, you're tutored in the nature of power and how to handle it. And then at menopause, your power is fully liberated. So you're sort of going through this incremental upgrade every month through your menstruating years, moving towards menopause. Yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible gift of power from the cycle. And it awakens us to our calling, our creative power, And also for me, this is what's most alive, is that the sort of ultimate kind of meta power of the cycle is that it's a process, or it's a spiritual path, the practice. It's a process of awakening. Now we're talking power. Wow. It initiates us into new levels of awareness all the time, new levels of awakening, new levels of connection with life. So it's weaving us into our place in the world. And it's growing in us the capacity to take responsibility for that power. Because yes, menopause is one massive awakening experience that you post-menopause are, learning to inhabit that consciousness. And that's a discipline all its own. It's not a given that I'll handle that power that's awoken in me at menopause. On the contrary, there's an ongoing practice there of staying awake to something and taking responsibility and using the very real powers that I feel in me and not abusing them. Because just because one has power doesn't mean you're not, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that you're going to use it wisely, though that there was.
You say in Wild Power, history makes it clear that no one is exempt from abuse of power. There's no guarantee that you'll use your power wisely, but we're convinced that the menstrual cycle is our best bet to make sense of power and train ourselves to be wiser custodians of it.
Here's hoping.
Well, and then you say there are many ways in which the cycle helps us to do this, and we unpack these throughout the book, but the key mechanism is the premenstrual deflation our ego undergoes each month. In short, we have an inbuilt antidote to invincibility and hubris.
Lucky us. Lucky us. Comes with the package.
I have to say, getting older is also an inbuilt puncturing of ego daily.
Motherhood too, can I say?
Yes, motherhood too, yes.
Yeah, any initiation where we don't have the control that we once had.
Exactly, yeah, where control begins to slip through our fingers, we meet our edges and the limits of our agency, the limits of our ego power.
I mean, I could become a tyrant. I mean, that's one option at this point.
Tempting.
It's very tempting.
And this premenstrual power isn't something that's respected in our world. It's demonized. And you were saying this when we were riffing before, Alexandra, that we're not taught cycle awareness, because the cycle isn't validated, it's no wonder that it's hard for us to manage this ego deflation power in the premenstrual phase.
Absolutely, yes. Oh gosh, there's so much to say about this autumn power. Premenstrually, you are being awoken to much more instinctual energies. And as I like to say, your polite, socialized self bites the dust. So your capacity to sort of suppress those energies, that sort of more animal, visceral kind of energy in you, all those, it's like all the stays are loosened, on the corset. Sorry, not everyone knows that term, I realize. On the corsets of ourselves, we held ourselves in a tight corset to sort of fit it. And all the stays of this corset are starting to give, and we're not held in the same way. And so this other kind of energy gets unleashed in us. And there's a very critical energy in there, which we can turn on ourselves, but we also turn on the world. And there's a very kind of uncensored, raw expression that can come out. And the other phase is, if you're practicing menstrual cycle awareness, you're sort of building in yourself the capacity in a sense, to be sufficiently present to challenge those or to channel those autumn powers more coherently. I mean, it's a work in progress, can I say, you know.
Oh, it's so big what you're saying, Alexandra, and I can imagine that so many people listening can relate to this feeling of the corset strings becoming looser. And I'm wondering if we should stay focused on our topic here today, because we actually are going to have a part two to this conversation, where we will look at the powers of each specific inner season. And we might play with the power cards here and like just name some of these different powers that are available to us in each of these like four different gears that we have available to us in these four phases of the cycle. And we can expand upon the premenstrual inner autumn powers there. And just come back to the thread that we were with right at the beginning of the conversation of how it's the vulnerability that the cycle invites us into that really gives us access to this power, and how the inner autumn really is the gatekeeper, you could say, of this vulnerability, the invitation into this vulnerability.
Yeah, exactly. That ego deflation we're speaking of, it's coming out of this armoring and coming into a much more real experience of your fragility and vulnerability and the limits you have as a human being, both just a human being in a body, you know, has limits and is at the mercy of time and the environment and so many things, but also the limits of who you are, your own nature, your kind of gifts and talents and so on, all have their limits. And then the life you've lived has created all kinds of very interesting chinks and colors and flavors, you know, through the richness of your history, the traumas you've faced, the challenges you've experienced, you are weathered by life. And when you come into the premenstrum, all of that confronts you. And you kind of come out of the illusion of being invincible and being you know, superhuman. And you start to feel your humanity. And that is so profoundly humanizing and connecting, because you can suddenly feel compassion and you can suddenly relate to all of life, you know, to the natural world, because the natural world mirrors this. Everything dies, everything ends, everything is temporary. And if we don't have an experience of this vulnerability, we can very easily go into that hardened sort of power over place. This is what brings us into power with. This brings us into relationship with life.
Because it creates empathy when we can be with our own mess, then and have compassion with it, then that compassion becomes empathy with others in their own mess. And that's a natural antidote to the power over, because then we can't help but be with everyone else in their mess.
Exactly. And realize that it's all for one, you know, one for all, that we're all in this together, and your suffering is my suffering, because I feel it. I feel it. It's not just a thought in my head, but I feel your suffering is my suffering. And so, you know, it's not about me, the individual, anymore, which is a lot of where the power over stuff in the first half of the cycle is all about you, you know, and what you can get in life and what you can achieve. But in the second half of the cycle, it becomes about us and what we need, and how, unless we go there together, we're not going. And so we feel that, you know, we feel this, that our part, we feel that we're here to serve, we feel that we are here to contribute. And, you know, when I think of the kinds of power we see in the world, which is misused power, so often it's devoid of service. Yeah, it's much more about making something happen or getting somewhere, but it's devoid of service. And this premenstrum and the inner winter as well are just take us back into our service, our contribution, and the value of that. That's the big thing. We've often missed the value of our contribution in this bigger dance that's going on.
Mm. Oh, I've got shivers head to toe. That feels like a very potent place to complete for now, recognizing that this is essentially the golden thread behind every conversation we have about the menstrual cycle and menopause. Yeah, yeah, it's walking us home to our power. Yeah.
I just feel in myself really soothed and still and quiet with all that's just been said. It's very, very lovely.
And I'm feeling really fired up to work with people and show them how to do this, because the information isn't enough. And Alexandra and I are so committed to getting practical and detailed about how we can all awaken this power within that lives in our menstruality and in our cycles. Can't wait.
Yeah. So if you're feeling called, if you're listening and feeling called, please do join us in June for Cycle Power. We would love to have you with us. You can find out all about it at redschool.net/cyclepower. Whew, thanks, you two. I loved that wild safari of a conversation about the menstrual cycle and power. And we'd love to hear how it lands for you know, we're going to be talking about power a fair amount over the next few weeks. So please write to us, share your thoughts, your questions, and we can carry on the conversation. Thanks, you two.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you for being with us all the way through to the end today. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do that on Apple Podcasts. Please share this conversation with a friend who you know might be interested in the power of the menstrual cycle and want to know more. And please do join us on June the 5th for Awaken Your Cycle Power. It's a great introduction to the Cycle Power course, and also just a great event if you're looking to discover more about how the menstrual cycle can help you awaken and embody your own power, to step into your power. You can find out all about it and register at redschool.net/cyclepower. All right, that's it from me for this week. I'll be with you again next week. And until then, keep living life according to your own brilliant rhythm.